John 21, verse number 15, the Bible says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for these fellows being here, Lord. It's an honor and a privilege to open your perfect word, Lord. God, I'm glad that as we look at the Bible, we don't have to worry about if there's any mistakes, if there's any errors, if there's any contradictions, Lord. God, we know every word that is in this book, Lord, it comes from you. It proceeds forth out of your mouth, Lord. And God, it's exactly what we need, Lord. In a crazy world, we're so thankful that we have a Bible to point us in the right direction, to point us to you, and God, to get a hold of our lives and get us back on track. Please, God, help the guys to listen to your word today. Please give me the right words and thoughts and spirit as I preach your word. And God, we pray that you would be lifted up. God, that your truth would be clear, that it would hit our hearts, God. I ask that you would just reach through this time and this message that we have and change lives, Lord, and work on hearts. I pray that you would do that for me and every single guy that's here. And Lord, we pray that you would be, again, lifted up. God, that you would make us more like you, that you would help us to love you more as a result. Lord, help us to hear your voice through the preaching and make us to be what you want us to be, Lord. We love you. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated. Thank you for standing. So here in John 21. Guys, this is an encounter and a conversation between Peter and Jesus. And this is a very pivotal moment in Peter's life. Guys, I'm sure unpack this as we go through, but Peter had messed up really bad before this, right? What had Peter done that was so egregious in his life? Denied Jesus. Yeah, he denied that he even knew the Lord three times, right? We know the pressure was turned up. Jesus had been arrested, right? And Jesus is on trial. We know that there was really no legitimate charges that they could file against the Lord because he's perfect. But we know this was something that was trumped up in a mock trial, and they are out for blood, right? And we know eventually they crucified Jesus because they hated him. But Peter's outside there, right? He sees what's going on. There's a fire. Maybe it's a chilly night. He's out there and he's warming his hands by the fire. And somebody looks at him, Uriel, and says, hey, you belong with Jesus too, right? You're one of his group. You're one of his disciples. And he gets scared. He gets intimidated. He gets embarrassed. He's freaked out. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know that guy. He didn't. I mean, guys, he walked and was with Jesus for 3.5 years. It was Jesus 3.5 years prior as he's out there fishing saying, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Aiden, his whole life was turned around because of Jesus. He was saved. He saw amazing miracles. He saw God do wonderful, fantastic things that no one else could do. And Peter's life was dramatically changed. But in that moment of pressure, that moment of intimidation, he goes, I don't know what you're talking about. And let's be honest, we get it, right? We don't agree with what he did. It's wrong, but we can understand it. Hey, guys, if they're about to murder Jesus and then they, you know, look at you and say, Anthony, you're part of his group too. Hey, we could all understand saying, this is a tense moment, right? You get what I'm saying? But Peter did the wrong thing. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. Guys, it happened three times in that one night, three separate occasions, people come up to him. Hey, I recognize you. You were with Jesus. And he, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Last time he goes off cussing and swearing, saying, no, I don't know the man. And he denies the Lord. Guys, this is when Jesus is welcoming Peter back into the fold and recommissioning him, saying, hey, Peter, you got a job to do. You messed up. Hey, guys, I'm glad. Listen, before I really dive into the message today, I am so thankful and so glad that we serve a God that when you mess up, he doesn't throw you out. He doesn't crumble you up and throw you away and throw you in the trash can and say, you're no good anymore. I don't need you. When you mess up, which we all do all the time, but when you mess up, all you got to do is go to him, confess your sin, say, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done this. You know what the Bible says? He promises. He doesn't say maybe. He promises that he is faithful and just to forgive you number one, and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, to take that away, to forgive your sin and to cleanse you. And guys, he will use you once again. Thank God that's the kind of God we serve. Because if not, Jaden, there'd be nobody here at church, because we'd all be thrown away a long time ago if God was finished with us and if God wasn't a forgiving God. So this encounter with Peter is pivotal. This is a huge point in his life, guys. If he didn't respond correctly to this encounter with Jesus here in John 21, I really don't know what we would have seen with Peter the rest of his life. Hey, guys, who did God use on the day of Pentecost that got up, preached, and 3,000 people got saved in one day? And they really got saved. This wasn't just an emotional buzz. This wasn't just, hey, he prayed, so they're going to pray. No. I'm talking about 3,000 people actually got saved and got their lives transformed. That's amazing. You know who God used? Peter. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, all these miracles in the book of Acts. Man, you read early in the chapters of the book of Acts, Peter will preach at the drop of the hat. And most of the time he's dropping the hat because he wants to do it. He puts himself out there. It seems like anything small happens to him and bam, he jumps up saying, you know what that's about? And he immediately gets to the cross about how Jesus died for our sins and how we need to repent and trust in him. So God used Peter in a great way. So we know he responded the right way to this encounter. But guys, I just want to press this on your heart one more time. This is a pivotal, pivotal moment in his life. If he didn't respond right, the first part of the book of Acts would have looked a lot different. And you would not be reading later on in the Bible, 1st and 2nd Peter, because he wouldn't have used Peter to write those portions of scripture. This is a big moment, and he needed to respond correctly. Guys, I'm just going to give you the title, and it's going to sound a little strange, but I hope as we go through, it'll make sense. All right, here it is. Here it is. I really like you, Lord. Doesn't that sound weird? You're like, Brother Tom, did you not study enough? No, I hope it'll make sense as we go through. But the message is, I really like you, Lord. Let's dive in. All right, point number one. So we're in verses 15 through 17 today, primarily. And I hope this will be a blessing to you guys. The message, I really like you, Lord. Verse number 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Guys, this occasion in John 21 is really cool because it starts out with Peter going fishing, and not just that he was just having a day off and wanted to enjoy hanging out and going out in the weather and hopefully catching some fish. He was going back to fishing. He was quitting serving God, going back to fishing. Even after those three denials that Jaden talked about with us, he was quitting here. I don't know what was going through his mind. Maybe he just thought, you know what? This is too much pressure. This is too hard. I can't do this, which you can't either, and neither can I. But God can do it through us. But I don't know. But he was discouraged and he said, man, I'm out of here. I'm just going to go back to something that's easy. But you know what, guys? If God's not helping you, even the stuff that you were good at before, you can't be good at anymore. Because without the Lord, we can do nothing. They go out and he takes 6 other disciples with him. Amazing. And then they get on a fishing boat, guys. They go out there all night. All night they're trying to catch fish. You know how many they caught? 0. Nothing. They caught nothing. And then guess who shows up on the shore? Jesus. Sorry. He knew. He's like, oh, yeah. All right. They see Jesus on the shore. They don't know it's Jesus at this point, though. And Jesus asks a very embarrassing question to them. Hey, guys, how did it go? How many did you catch? But that was a great answer they had, right? They're probably like, nothing. What? What was that? Nothing. I didn't hear you. We caught nothing. 0. Nada. Nothing. All right. You know why Jesus said that? He's basically saying, hey, how's your life going without me? Mm-hmm. How's it working out for you? How's things turning out without me? Hey, guys, if you strayed away from the Lord, how's it been working out for you? Have you had so much fun? Have you been enjoying life? Has it been thrills and excitement and all this kind of stuff? If you be honest with yourself, you say no. Mm-hmm. It's been rough. It's been hard without him. It's been discouraging. It's been lonely. It's been difficult in my life. They had to admit they caught nothing without him. And guys, if you've been away from the Lord, you need to admit it and say, Lord, I've messed up. I was wrong. And God, I've gone out there trying to have fun and excitement and some of the pleasures of sin of this world, but God has been empty, and I was wrong. And then Jesus says, cast the net on the right side. Guys, I'm sure that when they were fishing, they were casting it on the right side, the left side, the front side, the back side. Everywhere possible, they were probably throwing their net, and they caught nothing without the Lord's help. But with the Lord's help, guys, they threw the net out on the right side, like Jesus said, and then they had so many fish, they could barely pull up the net. It gives us the exact amount in verse number 11 of this chapter. They caught 153 fish. That ain't bad. And you know what else? That's a whole lot better than nothing, right? So they caught 153 fish. But you know what? This is just kind of an illustration of the Lord saying, you know what? Stop trying to do your life without me. Do it the way I say. Let me guide. Let me direct. Let me show you. Let me control your life, and I can bless it a whole lot better and do things that no one else can do in your life. When they come back with all those fish, Jesus says, come on, guys, I've got food for you. Now get this. He had them catch all those fish, but he already had fish on the grill, we could call it. He had a fire there. He was cooking them. You say, where'd he get the fish? He made all fish, right? He didn't need of theirs. He told them to bring some of theirs, but he already had some on the fire, and he had bread, probably butter. He had everything, all right? He had it laid out for them. But guys, we catch up in verse number 15. So when they had dined, so they finish eating, they have a good time, they're enjoying that. They had been tired, as we said, working all night, catching nothing out there. So when they had dined, guys, amazing to me, they finish eating. Hey, when you finish eating, you get tired, right? You feel relaxed. About time for a nap. No, not time for a nap, Peter. It's time for a really serious conversation. And Jesus turns to Peter. Amazing. Guys, get this. He had denied that he knew the Lord by a fire three times, right? Now, three times, Jesus is going to challenge him. Say, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Three different times. And we'll get into his answer about it. But he had denied Jesus by a fire, and now Jesus is restoring him also by a fire. I want to show you, I don't know if I gave you the first point. The first point is this, the Lord's call. The Lord's call. So Jesus says to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Guys, I want to show you a couple things about this. First of all, the Lord's call. This is what God wants from you. You say, what are we talking about today, Brother Tom? We're just talking about fishing and all this kind of stuff and Peter's life. No, we're talking about each of our lives. The Lord's call. You know what God wants from you? He wants you to love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. He says, I want you to love me. Hey, guys, for a moment, I want you to see this verse. And he says, Peter, and I believe looks him in the eye, and he's got a serious look on his face, and he says, do you love me? Lovest thou me? Hey, guys, what if he was calling your name out today? What if he said, Ethan, do you love Jesus like you should? Aiden, do you love Jesus like you should? Wes, do you love Jesus like you should? Uriel, do you love Jesus like you should? And I could say that about every guy in the room. But this is specific. This is direct. He's coming right after him. Guys, he's not doing this to hurt Peter. He's doing it to help Peter. But can I tell you, in the moment, it's like intense. I'm sure Peter's just enjoying the fish and the bread. Say, Lord, great meal. Thank you. Compliments to the chef. You know, awesome. But guys, it wasn't just a relaxing mood anymore. He said, hey, Peter, do you love me? I think he's over there like, You know, I hope he didn't have anything stuck in his teeth or in his throat, man, because this was the time he'd be choking like, what'd you say? Could I get some more bread? Forget the bread. We're talking about, do you love Jesus with all your heart? The Lord's call. Guys, that's what he wants. Hey, we want you to be faithful to church. We want you to dress up if you can. We want you to read your Bible every day. We want you to pray. We want you to live holy. We want you to stay away from the sin of this world. But can I tell you the main thing out of all that? You got to love the Lord with all that you have. Can I tell you, if you love him like you should, then you will be in church. You will read your Bible. You will pray. You will live holy. You'll try to give tracts to others and invite them to church and tell them about the Lord. Listen, it's all about loving Jesus. That's the call for you today. Hey, young man, that's what it's all about. Do you love Jesus like you should? Do I love him like I should? I want you to notice in this that Jesus started the conversation. Hey, guys, they weren't just already talking about love. And, you know, man, I love this fish. And Jesus says, on that topic of love, no, that's not how it happened. Not how it happened. Jesus initiated this conversation. And guys, sometimes out of nowhere, Jesus has to say, hey, maybe we haven't been talking about it before, but do you love me like you should? Hey, maybe the conference theme is not about it, but do you love Jesus like you should? Jesus started this conversation, and he's specific. He calls him out by name. Hey, guys, if he called your name today and say, do you love me? I wonder what the answer would be. Do you love me? So it's specific. He calls him out by name. And guys, what is Jesus asking for? It's something straight to the heart. He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? It's straight to the heart. Hey, guys, here's the whole message today. And I guess I won't put it up on the board just for time's sake. Here's the whole message today, and it'll make sense to you, right? What's the title? Does anybody remember? I really like you, Lord. And you're thinking, huh? Okay. Hopefully it'll make sense now. Guys, we read this obviously in English, all right? And in verse 15, he says, Peter, do you love me? And then Peter answers back, yeah, Lord, I love you. And it goes through and he's saying, do you love me? Do you love me? Three different times. And Peter's saying, Lord, yes. Come on, come on. Get off my case, right? Hey, guys, English is a very plain language. It's a very kind of simple and you could say boring or flat. It's not complicated. Okay? Do you know the language originally that the New Testament was written in?
It started with A, I know.
I know what you're thinking of, but not exactly. Aramaic is what you're thinking of. But not the answer I'm looking for, but it's close.
The New Testament.
Yeah, the New Testament. Anybody?
Like Greek and Latin.
Greek. A particular type of Greek called Koine Greek, all right? Why did God do that? So when he gave, like we're reading the book of John, when he gave the book of John, like, and he told him to write this out, it was in the language of Greek. Why did God do that? All right? Just so it'd be difficult to understand? No. He did it because it's a very technical language, all right? And I could spend time explaining that to you. But here's the point of it all. When he says to Peter here in verse 15, lovest thou me? Guys, that's in Greek, that's the word agape. Guys, it means total commitment. It means devotion. It means all your loyalty. It's everything. You're all in. Okay? That's what that word means. Now, what did Peter answer back? He's saying, yeah, Lord, you know that I love you. But guys, in English, we have one word for this. In Greek, they would have several words because it was, again, very precise and very technical language. Complicated, right? When Peter answers back and says, yeah, Lord, I love you, it's not the same word. Jesus saying, hey, Peter, do you have a total commitment to me? Are you devoted to me? Hey, are you giving your all to me? And you know what Peter's saying in essence when you see here, he says, yeah, Lord, I love you. Guys, that word is a different word called, the word is phileo. You know what it means? I like you, Lord. I'm fond of you, Lord. I have affection for you, which is, guys, basically saying, Lord, I like what you do for me. Lord, I mean, I like all them fish that you helped us catch. That was pretty cool, Lord. I like that. And then, guys, that meal you gave me, Lord, I mean, that was awesome. Best fish I ever had, Lord. I appreciate it. Hey, guys, you get the difference here? This is what this whole message is about. Jesus saying, hey, do you love me? Do you love me? Are you totally committed to me? Are you giving your all to this? Do I have all your loyalty? Peter says, I mean, I like you, Lord. You're pretty cool. No, he's not getting it. He's not getting it. So that's why the message is called, I really like you, Lord, because he's not getting it yet. Jesus is going straight to the heart with Peter saying, do you love me? Do you have that total commitment to me? And guys, he's saying, Peter, do you love me? Not just do you love the blessings that I give to you. Not just do you love the fish that I help you catch. Not just do you love the miracles that I do or the sermons that I preach. Or do you like hanging out with me and traveling here and traveling there and seeing what I do, being fascinated by me? He's saying, do you love me? Hey, teen boy in this class right now, do you love Jesus? I'm not just saying, do you like hanging out with us? Do you like some of the activities we do? Do you like when we have youth conference and we have teen boys retreat and we go here and we eat here and we hang out here and we have these t-shirts and we do this activity and we play basketball and we go here and we go ziplining and all this cool stuff? We may like that stuff, but I'm not asking that today. Do you love Jesus? That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It's a straight to the heart request and it's to the Savior. Do you love him? Not the peripherals. Hey, guys. I think there's guys, they like coming to church when we have big things going on. When we have events, when we have free food, man, people show up out of nowhere. Come out of the woodwork when we have free food. It's like I haven't seen people in years, you know. Can you come to church? Can you come to church? Can you come to church? Oh, I don't know, man. I'm busy. Oh, we have free food. Oh, what time? You know, like out of nowhere, they change everything. Oh, I'll be there. I'll be there. You said free, right? That means no money. I don't have to bring nothing. All right, I will be there. You can mark that down. Hey, do you love the free food or do you love Jesus? Do you love the things that we give out when we have Roundup and we have the big inflatable slides and we have the fun and we have all this kind of stuff? Do you love that or do you love Jesus? Hey guys, I'm not against any of those extras that we have, but church is about loving Jesus. The Bible's about loving Jesus. The Christian life is all about Him. It's about loving Him. That's why it's called the Christian life. We're supposed to be followers of Christ. Hey guys, do you love Jesus? Do you love it? Hey, you know what will get you through a hard year at public school when most of those students live contrary to God? That you love Jesus like you should. Hey, what will get you through a Christian school year that, let's hope this doesn't happen, but some people don't care about the Lord, and maybe there's a lot of them that they're just going along with the flow, being fake, but you don't want to be fake. How can you be different than them? By loving Jesus like you should. Hey guys, he's saying, do you love me? I'm talking about the one that created you. I'm talking about the one that gives you the power to breathe and to live and to see and to walk and to talk and every ability that you have, he gave it to you. By the way, the one that died on the cross for you, you deserve to go to hell and so do I. Burn there forever, be in torment, be in suffering, and be in misery forever and ever and ever. But you know who took that in our place? Jesus on the cross once and for all so that we don't have to go there. Hey, I'm asking, do you love him today? Do you love him today? That's what it's all about. Hey guys, the Christian life is not just about having cool friends and we talk about different stuff. The Christian life is not just talking about talking to the Christian girls and seeing which one that hopefully will maybe, hopefully, you know, by some miracle like you one day. No, that's not the Christian life. You know what the Christian life is about? Loving Jesus. Do I? It's about loving our Savior. And guys, notice the word. He says, lovest thou me. Now, I know that's old style, old English, but you know what that means? It's present tense. He's not saying, hey, Peter, you remember when we gave out the fish and the bread to those 5,000 people? Did you love me at that moment? He's not saying that. Hey, when you saw me up on that cross suspended, did a tear come to your eye, Peter? No, he's not asking that, Aiden. He's saying right now, do you love me? Hey, guys, do you love Jesus right now? Hey, time out, guys. I love the conferences. I love the camps, and I love all that. Hey guys, listen though. There's all those things are good because they're an encouragement. They're like an extra boost for us. Hey guys, but do you just love the conference or do you love Jesus? Do you just love the camp or do you love Jesus? I'm not trying to smack anybody around, but sometimes we have guys that, man, when it's conference, they're like, dude, I love this. I'm all about it. How about the rest of the year? Hey guys, can I tell you, I know it's really hot outside now and hot in here too, but anyway, but in a few months from now, it's gonna be freezing cold. And you know what? I'm glad we have a good amount of guys in the room right now, but there's gonna be times when the class will be really low. There's gonna be barely anybody. On those type of days, number one, are you gonna be here? Number two, are you gonna be locked in or is it just gonna be, we got four guys in the room. Are you kidding me? This is a waste of time. Why am I even here? I don't care about this. Hey guys, I don't come here because of who else comes here. I don't come here because, well, Wes, if we don't have a big crowd, I'm gonna walk right out because that's offensive. They should know that I deserve. No, I'm not here for the crowd. I hope people come, don't get me wrong, but it's not about that. And it's not about what event are they having. It's about, I love Jesus and I wanna be here and I wanna serve him because of all he's done for me. Hey guys, do you love him right now? Is that present tense in your life? And notice what he says, lovest thou me more than these? Well, there's some discussion about what he was referring to more than these. People have different opinions, but it could be all those fish. He's saying, hey Peter, you just quit on me to go back to fishing. Ho, ho, ho. Do you love me more than that? Do you love me? Hey guys. I think we were talking about it earlier. There needs to come a day you get a job and you start worrying about what you're going to do in life and have a family and all that. But can I tell you, all those blessings God gives to you, don't love them more than the one that gave you the blessing. Listen, let's keep our priorities straight. Hey guys, you have a job, you're making some money, good for you. But is that going to be more important to Jesus? You know what Jesus is saying? Do you love me more than that? Hey guys, if Ethan, I have to regularly inspect my heart and say, Lord, if you want me to, if it were to be, God, if you want me to drop everything here and be a missionary on the other side of the world, Lord, I want to be willing to do that. Guys, I'm not trying to diminish or belittle anybody. But Tim, that can be easier for a guy that's 16 or 17 and they don't have much built up. And then I'm over here in my 30s. Hey, guys, that would be a tougher move for me, right? Sell the house, sell the cars. Bam. I mean, that would be difficult. My wife, my son, we're out of here, moving away from family. And I don't know what God has planned for me. I don't have a clue. But Anthony, I want my heart to be willing. I want to love Jesus that much. He's saying, hey, do you love me more than your job? Do you love me more than the paycheck from your job? Which is all what we all love about the job. You know, it's not like, oh man, I want to work. I want to work myself to the bone. No, you care about the paycheck. I get it. All right. I understand. If you ever hear of those people, man, I would show up to my job even if they didn't pay me. They're liars. All right. Either that or they're delusional, all right? They need to go to a mental institution and get some medicine, all right? You're all about the paycheck, which I understand. But guys, if God wanted you to drop that, would you? Your plans, well, no, I got my life lined out. And these are fine if it's in God's will. But no, I'm going to go here to college. I'm going to work this job. I'm going to make this money, this amount. I'm going to drive this. Man, I hope I can marry her. And we're going to live here, and this is the life we're going to have. Well, that's fine if it's in God's will, but what if Jesus said, I got something else for you? Would you drop that? Do you love him more than these? That's what he's saying. Peter, do you love me more than that stuff? I know I just gave you the greatest catch of your life, but do you love me more than that? The supremacy, do you love me more than these? And then, guys, this is serious. This is serious. He bangs on him three times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Peter, I want your total commitment. Peter, I want all your loyalty. Peter, I want your devotion. I don't want you just hanging out with me when it's cool and when it's fun. How about when it's not fun? How about when it's hard? Hey, guys, when it gets difficult in your Christian life, are you going to continue? Or is it going to be, I really like you, Lord. When we're having stuff, Lord, I'm all on board. When we're having a big event, count on me. Hey guys, are you going to be faithful to him over the long haul? The Lord's call. Guys, you know what he wants from you? He wants you to love him. Do you? Do you? Do you? You say, Brother Tom, I've checked out of this message already because I don't care about this. Hey guys, I hope you haven't because this is for every guy in the room, myself included. Do you love Jesus? Not just do you love the group of friends that you have in this church. Not just do you love some of the things that we do from time to time. Not just is it interesting to hang out with us. Do you love Jesus yourself? Hey guys, because if not, you will live for God when the church people are around, and then when you're by yourself, you're going to be a totally different dude. Can I tell you, that's not cutting it. That's not cutting it. The Lord's call. He wants us to love him, all right? Point number one was the Lord's call. Number two is this, the lack of commitment. The lack of commitment. So, guys, you tell me. We don't even need to dive into the verses just for time. Three times he said, Peter, do you love me? And he's talking about a different word, right? He's saying, I want total commitment. What does Peter answer back to him three times?
I like you.
I like you, Lord. I like you. Lord, you're pretty cool. You do some really, really neat things. Hey, guys, there was a lack of commitment. Jesus says, I want you to agape me. I want you to have that total commitment. Peter says, I phileo you. I like you, Lord. But guys, there's a difference in these words because there's not the same commitment level. There's not the same devotion. Hey guys, by the way, we've talked and preached a long time about purity. Hey guys, make sure that you wait and you get God's direction and will in your life. Make sure you love that young lady one day before you get married. Guys, we live in a day and age where people lust each other. They don't love each other. And then when they fall out of lust, they get rid of the marriage. They throw that to the side like it's nothing. Marriage is a big deal in the eyes of God. I think we demonstrated that a lot. Guys, make sure you have that deep commitment. It's not just, hey, obviously we want her to be pretty and all that. But guys, it needs to go deeper than that. I know it's hot in here. Stick with me though, okay? This is clear what the Lord wants. It's convicting. It's challenging. But you know, Peter, he's not measuring up. He has a lack of commitment. He says, Lord, I like you. I mean, you're pretty cool and you do some amazing things, but I'm just not there. He says, Lord, you know that I love you, but I like you is what he's saying. There's a lack of commitment. Hey, guys, would that be the case to you today? If Jesus came to you and he said, Anthony, do you love me? Dylan, do you love me? Ariel, do you love me? Christian, do you love me? Michael, do you love me? And he came at us and he was asking it directly to us. You say, man, come on, back off, back off. No, guys, we're talking about the Savior of the universe, the creator of us. If he came and he pointed his finger in your face, do you love me? What would it be? I want you to think about it. What would it be? What would it be for me? Would it be, Lord, I like you? I mean, Lord, I live for you when it's convenient. And hey, we can all be in that boat. Lord, when all the other people are living for you, then Lord, you can count me in. But Lord, when I got to stand out and people make fun of me, whoa, I don't know if I love you like that, Lord. I like you though. You're pretty cool. The lack of commitment. Let's not be like this. You know, I think of the lack of commitment, there's received blessings. Hey guys, all of us want and need the blessings of God. You say, no, I don't. Yes, you do, because you wouldn't be alive without the blessings of God. Hey guys, we all need it, right? We all need food, we all need water, we all need a place to live. We all need the blessings of God. We all need our health, right? If not for that, guys, we're in the hospital, we could be on our deathbed. That could happen to any one of us. Hey guys, that's scary to think about, but that could happen. Listen, every single day that we get, it's a gift from God. Let's be thankful for that, but to receive blessings. Hey guys, just in this chapter, we know that he had a miraculous catch. He had a tremendous meal that the Lord gave to him. God gave him those things. But then when he says, do you love me? You know what we want to do? We want to back away from commitment. We need his blessings. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. People don't want to be faithful to church. But you know what? They say, Lord, give me good health. You know, please give me that good health and help my car to work, Lord. You know I need my car to run. But guys, then when they have good health and their car runs, they go driving to the beach on Sunday instead of coming to church. Hey guys, we've heard stories of people in the hospital. They say, pray that God heals me. We pray that God heals them. Then God heals them and they're not faithful to God anymore. Hey guys, that's not the way it should be. The received blessings, we get all these things from God. You say, how do I know if I just like the Lord and not love him? Are you all about getting his blessings, but you don't want to be counted on? You don't want to commit to him? You remove yourself from anything that's binding? Guys, can I tell you, this is a widespread problem. I think, hey, I was thinking about this, praying about this. I think this is an epidemic amongst, we would say, Christian teenagers, teenage young men. I like you, Lord. But Ethan, if they're going to make fun of me, no. And guys, do I like getting made fun of because I'm a Christian? No, I do not. Not one second of it. I hate it. I despise it. I wish I didn't have to endure it. But you know what? If I love the Lord, sometimes I need to grit my teeth and just get through it. Like the Bible says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Hey guys, may we all get better at this. When we stick out, when we're made fun of, when we're ridiculed, when it gets hard. Hey guys, as I said, would I every Sunday sign up for the class to be filled and every chair in here filled and we have people lined up at the back that don't have a chair? Yes, yes, yes. But you know what, Anthony? Even if that's not the case and we have two guys here, three guys here, four guys here, I want to give it just as much energy and just as much passion. Why? Because I want to love the Lord. Because I'm not just trying to do it when the crowd's around. Guys, do you just live your Christian life when the crowd's around? Or when the quote-unquote important people are around and you turn on the smile and you turn on the charm and you, yes, brother. Is that the way you live your Christian life? Or is it all the time, I want to be consistent? Hey, guys, can I tell you, the big preacher may not be watching you, but God's watching you all the time. Mm-hmm. Are you real? Hey guys, I've had guys, I've visited them. Hey man, you come to church? Well, I don't know. I don't wanna, you know, commit to anything that I ain't gonna come to. Can I tell you something? I've learned this. This has been hammered in my mind the last few days. We do what we wanna do. We do what we wanna do. We do what we value as important. I went to the baseball game on Friday night, guys, in Baltimore. It was a 7 o'clock game. There was a 2.5 hour rain delay. So it was 9:30. 9:30, that's late for most people. 9:30 when the game started. Can I tell you, very few people left that game. Very few. It was still pretty packed at 9:30 on a Friday. The game's just starting. Just starting. And I'm expecting, man, when it's 11 or something, surely people got to start leaving, right? I mean, it's late. It's late. You got to get home. Guys, the game finished at 12:15 a.m. It was still packed. Until the game was over, I don't think most people left. Pretty much the whole thing was still filled. You know what that tells me? If people view that as important, they'll stay there. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you don't get into that stadium free. Guys, you pay quite a bit of money to walk inside those gates and sit on a chair and watch those two teams play. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me. But we used to tell people, hey, can you come to church? Oh, dude, I don't know if I can. Can I tell you something? You don't have to pay no money whatsoever to walk inside these doors. Mm-hmm. And we talk about something a lot greater than two teams that probably ain't going to win the World Series this year. Hey, guys, I was talking with Thomas. Pray for him. He's brainwashed. He thinks the Commanders, you know, what? Anyway, you guys know. Pray for him. I'm burdened about it. But now, anyway, I'm blessing. I'm messing around with him. Listen, he went to Ashburn, Virginia. I don't even know if you guys know where that is. I've had to go there for work. That's not down the street. That's like at least an hour and a half, 2 hours from here. That's a long way away. And traffic, you can add on to that. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Tom? They're at this practice, not a game. Sorry, Allen Iverson. Not a game, practice. Guys, there's no other team out there. That means he goes back to pass. The guy just runs out there, makes a left. That's all they're doing. 10,000 people showed up. So many people that Thomas and his family couldn't even get close to get an autograph or what, anything like that. Couldn't even get close. And guys, were you guys alive on earth yesterday? Raise your hand if you were. Do you remember the weather yesterday? You can put your hands down. Thank you. You guys are awake. That's a blessing. How was the weather yesterday? In a word, hot, right? In a word, burning. It was intense yesterday, right? You know what? Doesn't seem like those people cared. Why? Because it was, oh, praise God for air. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is, but I'm about to pass out up here, all right? But you know what? I was talking about hot. As soon as I said the word hot, then it came on. Hot! Okay. We do that every week as soon as we walk in. No, no, no. When you say it's hot in here, they get the message. Oh, it's hot. All right. Listen, guys, that many people showed up on a hot day to watch a team just practice about 2 hours, two hours and a half away from here. You know what that tells me, Wes? If it's important to people, they'll do it. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Can you come to church this Sunday? Oh, man. I don't know. You know what? We have air conditioning in this building most of the time. We have a place for you to sit down. You don't get charged for it. Mm-hmm. We even got a water fountain that works most of the time. But you know what? People do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. People do what's important to them. The Lord's call, the lack of commitment. Hey, guys, this is the widespread problem. Is it for you that when things get hard, I'll shut this down quick, guys. But is it for you when things get hard that you say, you know what? I don't really think I care about the Lord anymore. If I start to struggle a little bit, this is over. If people start to mock me, I'm out of here. I'm going to avoid it. I'm going to skip out it at the first possible chance. They remove it from binding. Guys, you know what that does? He says, do you love me? Do you love me? Are you totally committed to me? Lord, I like you. It reveals a problem. Hey, guys, it reveals a problem in his heart. And it reveals a problem in our heart. That's why Jesus keeps bringing it up, saying, no, no, no. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Yeah, I like you, Lord. I like you, Lord. I like you, Lord. And let me say this, and then I'll give you the last point. Guys, I believe Peter is just saying this because he doesn't want to boast again. So I give him credit for that. He had just denied the Lord, right? He's in rebellion from him in this chapter, chapter 21. What did Peter say before? Lord, everybody else could deny you, but never me. And he fell on his face. He messed up royally, right? So I think Peter is guarding himself against boasting again. Saying, oh yeah, Lord, you can count on me. So he's too embarrassed to say, Lord, I think if we were to explain it, Lord, I want to love you, but I don't know if I can say that right now. Mm-hmm. So I give him respect. I understand what he's doing. I believe that's what's going on here. But you know what? Nowadays, if Jesus were to come to people saying, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? I think a lot of people say, yeah, I like you, Lord. But it's not because they're embarrassed because they messed up before. It's because they don't love Jesus like they should. It's because they just like him. They just kind of lightly, it's kind of whatever. If I feel like it, I'll do it. If I don't feel like it, I ain't going to do it. If I'm around the Christian people, yeah, I'll act like a Christian. But if I'm around worldly people, expect my Christianity to go out the window. I think that's a big problem nowadays. Guys, is it our problem? The Lord's call, the lack of commitment. Point number three and last, the leading contribution. What does Jesus say to him? Jesus doesn't say, you just like me? Is that it? That's all you got, Peter? After all I've done, get at it. No, that's not what he does. You know what he says three times? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. You say, huh? Did Jesus have some animals he need taken care of? You know, is that what he's talking about? No. You know what Jesus is saying? Serve me. Serve me. Serve me. Hey, guys, if you really love the Lord, if you want to love the Lord, and let me say this, if you want to develop and cultivate true love in your heart, start serving God. Start serving God. Start doing something with it. Why does Jesus say, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs? You know what he's saying, I believe? Prove it. Hey, guys. If you went down to that altar during youth camp and God spoke to your heart, that's a good thing. But you know what we need to do when we get back home? Prove that we love the Lord. Prove it. Prove it. Hey, God spoke to you in youth conference. Praise God. But you know what? When we get home, let's prove it. We can't just go to the altar, pray an empty prayer, go back to our seat, not even remember what we committed to God, and then live the same old way. What are we even doing? We're wasting our time. You know what he said? Hey, Peter, you want to love me? Then go feed my sheep. Go do something about it. Don't just sit around here. Don't go back to fishing. Hey, go do something for me and my cause. Prove it. Do something about it. Hey, guys, have you done something about it? Hey, and I'm not belittling anybody. God spoke to me at youth camp. Have you done something about it? God spoke to me at youth conference. Have you done something about it? God changed my life. Does anybody else see it? Prove it, prove it, prove it. And guys, this is a precious opportunity and it's the possession of the Lord. He said, feed my sheep. Go help another Christian. Go be a part of my work. Guys, this is it's a privilege that we get to serve God. And I'm winding this down. The progression that's possible. Hey guys, again, Jesus said, do you love me? Commitment, commitment. I want all your loyalty. Peter couldn't answer to that level yet, right? Wes, you know what I love? That Jesus doesn't kick him out when that happens. He doesn't say, oh, that's all you got? That's insulting. You get out of here, you stinking disciple. I never want to see you again. Wow. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't do that. He's gentle with him. I'm glad God's gentle with us. He doesn't have to be. He has every right to judge us. He has every right to be done with us after how many times we messed up. But you know what he's saying? Peter, you just keep working on it. You make it, maybe can only love me to this level right now, but you know what? You keep working on it. You keep going after it. You keep reading your Bible. You keep serving me. You keep feeding my sheep. And guys, I believe the more you do that, the more your love for him will grow. The progression that's possible in the production. Guys, you know what your life is about? Not how much money you make. Not the friends that you have, the experiences you guys do, or all these kind of things, sinful pleasures. It's not about that, the parties you go to. You know what your life is about? Serving Jesus. Hey guys, at the end of your life, will you have done anything for the Lord? Your labor's not in vain in the Lord, but hey guys, if one day we want to hear well done from God, we better start doing some good things here on earth now and get after it. And guys, let me throw one more thing at you and we're out of here. The prevailing. So what happens, guys? After they eat, Jesus turns to Peter very seriously. Do you love me? Whoa. I mean, Lord, we don't have dessert. Are you coming at me with that? Do you love me more than these? Lord, I like you. I don't know if I could say that yet. No. Do you love me? You know what he's saying, Peter? It's going to get hard in the future. Hey, guys, can I be straight up with you? It's going to get hard on us if you're trying to live for God. And just this kind of, Lord, I like you, it ain't going to fly. I'm not trying to slap anybody around, act like I'm better. Because, guys, I struggle with this too. I'm being dead honest with you. I struggle with this too. But you know what? This kind of, Lord, I like you sometimes, and sometimes I don't. I'm kind of halfway in, halfway out, Lord. I mean, you know, it's whatever. Sometimes when the emotions are a part of it, Lord, yeah, I'll live for you. But when it's kind of dead and dry and boring, I'm out, Lord. Can I tell you, that is not going to fly. Hey, guys, we got this LGBT garbage everywhere. It's coming. It's coming. This stuff is here. It's smacking us in the face. Listen, you go to public school, they're not going to want to live for God. Sometimes even in Christian school, there are some wicked influences there. Hey, guys, we need some young men to step up and say, I don't care who else does it. I love Jesus myself, and I'm going to serve him, and I'm going to put it out there. And if people like it, great. If they don't like it, who cares? I'm putting him first. The prevailing. You know what happens with Peter? Jesus gives a prophecy. I'm not going to read all this, verses 18 and 19. But you know what he's basically saying? Peter, at the end of your life, is going to be hard for you. He's basically alluding to the fact, Peter, you're going to get locked up one day. Peter, you're going to get persecuted. And he talks about, Peter, you're going to die for your faith. But think about it. In Peter's mind, he's probably thinking, if Jesus says this is going to happen in the future, you know what that means? That in the future, I'm not going to fail. You get me? You understand what I'm trying to teach you? He's saying, I failed before. When the pressure got turned up, I wilted. I fell apart. I crumbled. But in the future, Jesus says, I'm going to stay faithful to him. And guys, history, the Bible doesn't mention it, but history tells us that Peter died for his faith, for his belief in Christ, and they were going to crucify him, like Jesus on a cross. But when they were about to do that, Peter said, no, don't do that. I'm not worthy to die like my Lord. Turn the cross upside down. And Peter was crucified upside down and died that way. But you know what? You say, man, that was tough, his ending. Well, yeah, in one sense, but in another sense, he was victorious. He didn't crumble. He didn't fall apart. He didn't wilt when the pressure got turned up that time. He stayed faithful to the end. Why? Because I think somewhere across the line, Aiden, he didn't just like the Lord anymore. It transitioned. He loved the Lord with all his heart. He said, I don't care if people like it. I don't care if they make fun of me. I don't care if I listen to Christian music and no one else does in my neighborhood. I love Jesus. I'm giving my all to him. And guys, at the end of his life, he stood strong. He was a rock, which the name Peter means. He was a rock. He stood strong. But guys, at one point in his life, he was so weak. But the rest of his life, he was so strong. Why? Because his like turned to love. Hey guys, that can be you too. You may be in here and I just, you know, knocked your socks off with the message today. Bro, Brother Tom, I'm not ready for this. Well, guys, can I tell you, if you like the Lord, okay. But you know what? That needs to transition. We need to step it up. We can't just have that like, Lord, I kind of like you sometimes. You're pretty cool sometimes. But other times, yeah, I'm not trying to really be a Christian. Hey guys, it can't be like that anymore. We got to be totally committed all the time. Guys, he moved past this struggle in his life. He moved past this weakness. And may God help us to also. Help us, God, help us to love you like we should. Total commitment. Hey, guys, do you love the Lord like you should? Or are you like Peter in this chapter? I really like you, Lord. Guys, that's not good enough. We got to move it up to the next level. Let's bow.